Our assignment covers chapters 2 through 11 of Revelation. And these chapters give us basically a view of the gospel age. And the view is repeated three times. The first view in chapters 2 through 3 gives us the gospel age broken down in seven stages of the church. The second view, found in chapters 6 through 7, gives us the gospel age broken down in seven seals. And the third view in chapters 8 through 11 gives us the gospel age broken down in seven trumpets. And these visions of the gospel age being repeated three times shows it from a different viewpoint, from different events transpiring. It shows us from a different perspective. We are informed that the Apostle John received the visions of Revelation when he was in the Isle of Patmos. This is generally considered to be around approximately 96 A.D. John then addressed messages to the seven churches located in Asia Minor existing at that time. Revelation 1:4 says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now the vision was sent in signified by his angel unto his servant John, as verse 1 states. Signified has the thought that these visions were given in signs and symbols. So, in just having the message applicable to the existing churches, which it no doubt did, it also probably had a still greater application to the entire gospel age church. And since there were seven churches, seven represents completeness. It would symbolize the entire period. The various messages to these churches were given to the Apostle John as history written beforehand. In our day, with knowledge of religious and secular history, we can look back on what has been largely fulfilled. This is implied in verse 10 of chapter 1, where it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice. That is the John class on the Lord's day from our Lord's second presence. Look back in the past history. They heard behind me this great voice. Now, Brother Russell gave us a key in the reprints to understanding the progressive stages of the church. In reprint 5992, which is 1916 article, quote, to give a bird's eye view of the arrangement, we would notice their chronological position. Ephesus covers the period during the lives of the apostles. Smyrna, the time of the pagan persecution, reaching to about 325 A.D., when Constantine became emperor of Rome and declared in favor of Christianity. Pergamus embraces the transition period during which papacy had its rise. Thyatira, the space during which the true church was in the wilderness. An apostate church sat as a queen and lived deliciously with the kings of the earth. Sardis includes a short interval just before the Reformation. Philadelphia, the period from the Reformation unto recent times. And Laodicea, the nominal church of today. That's the end of this article. So, the seven stages of the church reveals what happened to the church in the flesh, in a mixed condition, mixed with wheat and tares. But there is also a nominal condition of each stage. As we know, Brother Miguez spoke about the overcomers, their qualities, the wheat class. But in the nominal condition of each stage, the visions included the weakness of that stage. And there is a separation from wheat and tares in the seventh stage. Now, in regards to the seals, the fifth chapter of Revelation pictures God seated upon the throne of the universe and having in his right hand a book or scroll written within and on the outside, sealed with seven seals. And after Jesus, the Lamb of God, had been slain in a sacrificial death, he was proclaimed worthy to open the scroll. And beginning with chapter 6, we see the seals are open in succession. The whole plan of God is represented in this book, the scroll. The execution of God's plan was placed in the hands of the Lamb. We believe that our Lord was made aware of all its features after his ascension to the presence of God. The opening of the seals have progressed during the gospel age as various events became due. We believe the opening of each seal will coincide with the corresponding seven stages of the church. And the seals will illustrate what would develop in the nominal system. Now, in regards to the trumpets, Revelation 8:2 says, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God." Stood before God, it says. "And to them were given seven trumpets." And then in verse 6 it says, "The seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." Then it continues with these seven angels sounding their trumpets in succession. Now, a key to the general meaning of the trumpets is given in the second volume, page 148. And just quoting some thoughts from there, it says, "The seven trumpets of Revelation are all symbolic and represent seven great periods of time and their events." And it goes on to say that the seventh trump is the last trump in a series of symbolic trumpets. The propriety of calling the seventh, or last trump, the trump of God, is evident too when we remember that the events mentioned under the preceding six trumpets of Revelation refer to humanity's doings, while the seventh refers specially to the Lord's work and covers the day of the Lord. So that's the end of that quote from the second volume. So under the trumpets, we have a history of what is going on in the gospel age in society, the governing influences leading up to Christ's kingdom. And as the first six trumpets refer to humanity's doings, we must also remember that all the angels stood before God. So in the trumpet visions, the messages and work of the true church are emphasized. We believe the angels who blow the seven trumpets and the angels to the seven stages of the church are one and the same in their respective era of time. As with the seven stages of the church and the seven seals of the scroll and the seven trumpets, we believe they also synchronize and cover the same periods throughout the age. Sometimes developments, however, will continue and overlap into succeeding time periods. We must remember the book of Revelation being largely symbolic. As we try to interpret scripture and gain an understanding of the seven stages of the church with its corresponding seals and trumpets, which will be consistent with the divine plan, the whole Bible, and fulfilled history, it is understandable that it will lead sometimes to a latitude of divergent ideas. Let us briefly now consider each stage of the church, its corresponding seal and trumpet, and touch just upon a few highlights of each. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 covers the first stage of the church called Ephesus in the time of the apostles. Ephesus means adorable from Strong's, and anything that is approved is desirable. Verse 2 mentions that of their works, their labor, and their patience, the early church took joyfully to the spoiling of their goods. They were living epistles known and read of all men. In the midst of ignorance and baseless morals, the early Christians traversed the seas and lands of the known world, braving persecution and trials that they might tell the good news of the coming kingdom. And there was a rebuke given to the Lord's nominal people of that stage. In verse 4, chapter 2, it says, "Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, in Galatians 1:6, he says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel." Now, this development in the nominal church is shown under its corresponding seal. In Revelation 6:2, it says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering, and he conquered. This white horse represented the purity of the original truth, delivered from God to the apostle by Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, it says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. When the chief shepherd shall appear. Notice that the rider of this horse had a crown already. He received one beforehand. In the 18th chapter of John, verse 36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And you notice again, the rider of this horse has set out to conquer the world at the start of the gospel age. We believe this rider of the white horse fits well the apostate element in the church, because the Apostle Paul had said in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, in the trumpet visions, the message and work of the true church are emphasized as affects society. In Revelation 8:7, it says, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now, in regards to the expressions used as being burnt up, this being a book of signs and symbols, we believe it refers to those who were favorably affected by the Lord's word and work. Being burnt up, they changed. They died to their former condition. Those who received the water of truth were converted to Christianity. It mentioned a third part being burnt up. And we do not believe it means, 33 1/3%. Not a mathematical proportion, but a third signifying a portion. And this same wording is used in the first four trumpets. Now, in the second stage of the church, it was called Smyrna, the time of the pagan persecution. Smyrna means bitter, and it was a period of bitter persecution under the pagan emperors. In Revelation 2:10, it mentions, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. The 10 symbolic days refer to the last and most severe persecution under the Roman emperors, that of the reign of Diocletian, from 303 to 313 A.D. Now, what was developing in the nominal system from the opening of the second seal was illustrated by the red horse of Revelation 6:4. Red is the color of sin and imperfection, illustrating that the doctrine was no longer pure. It was the period and formation. It was the period and formation of creeds. The message and work of the true church was shown under the vision of the trumpet of Revelation 8:8. It shows a great mountain burning. Again, a third part is mentioned as dying and so forth. It illustrated a kingdom being subject to Christian conversion, a third, just a portion, changed from their former condition. And we recall the conflict between papal and pagan power resulted in the gradual overthrow of pagan Rome. In the third stage of the church, it's called Pergamos. Pergamos means a tower or citadel. And this stage of the church embraces the transition period during which papacy had its rise, pushing itself higher and higher. Constantine, the Roman emperor, had embraced Christianity in 325 A.D. In 539 A.D., the popes began to exercise civil authority and power. In 800 A.D., the Holy Roman Empire was formed, and the pope, crowning Charlemagne emperor, was recognized as himself king of kings, emperor of emperors, another god on earth. It was an era of doctrinal pollution with heathen errors. In Revelation 6:5, when the third seal was opened, I beheld, and lo, a black horse. the truth had become a doctrine of darkness. The scarcity of the truth was illustrated in verse 6 of the 6th chapter. Now, under the vision of the trumpets of Revelation 8:10, it says, "The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp." Although the truth had become a doctrine of darkness, an angel or messenger whose testimony was of special value to the church while the papacy was rising in power was Arius. He maintained that the Son of God was totally and essentially distinct from the Father, that he was the first and noblest of those kings whom God had created. The instrument by whose subordinate operation he formed the universe, and therefore inferior to the Father, both in nature and in dignity. Creeds were adopted condemning the teaching of Arius, and there fell a great star from heaven, as verse 10 states. That is the ecclesiastical heavens. Arius was excommunicated and banished, and his books were burnt. Now, in Revelation 2:18, the fourth stage of the church is called Thyatira. And Thyatira seems to mean the sweet perfume of sacrifice. It was the period of papal persecution. Revelation 2:20 mentions Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Jezebel aptly pictured the apostate church of this period in the union of church and state. Revelation 6, verse 7, it says, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him." This is the last of the horses, pale color, a picture of death. Doctrinal degeneration had reached its peak and now called for the extermination of the upholders of the truth. The apostate element so perverted the truth that nothing was left to sustain spiritual life. The pale horse called for the death of its opposers by the inquisitions and crusades. Revelation 8:12, it says, "And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars." Now the sun is in reference to the gospel, the moon to the Mosaic law, and the stars to the apostles. Now these were smitten, that is, the creeds had darkened the teachings of God's word. Now how would the average religious person know that the true meaning of their teachings and beliefs were obscured by the creeds? Where would they find out? Well, the fourth angel who sounded, we believe, is Peter Waldo. And Waldo's translation of the four Gospels into French was the first appearance of the Scriptures in any modern language. We recall at this time the two witnesses, the Old and New Testaments, were prophesying in sackcloth in dead languages, and the Scriptures translated into French during this period revealed the darkness of the creeds. And the Waldensee Church was a light on the mountains during the Dark Ages. In Revelation 3, verse 1 through 6, it deals with the fifth stage of the church, called Sardis. This was the period of the pre-Reformation. Sardis is said to mean that which remains. Sardis was the remains of the true church. Revelation 3:4 says, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled garments." There were a few during this fifth period of the church which had not been contaminated. "And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy," it says. Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11 is in reference to the opening of the fifth seal. And we're going to skip this for now and harmonize it later with Revelation 14 as stated on the program. Revelation 9, verses 1 through 12 deals with the trumpet scene during this phase of the church. Revelation 9, verse 1, it says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit." We believe this angel was John Wycliffe, and this star fell from heaven. He fell from papal favor and esteem. He opened the bottomless pit. In other words, he exposed papacy. He translated the Bible into English. In England, many turned to Wycliffe's teachings, which struck at the cherished dogmas of papacy. In Revelation 3, verses 7 through 13, it deals with the sixth stage of the church called Philadelphia. And Philadelphia means brotherly love. This is the era of the Reformation. This is implied in verse 8 of the third chapter. It says, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." In other words, the Bible began to be put in the hands of the people. The door of the Reformation was open, and no man could shut it. Revelation 6, verses 12 through 17 deals with the opening of the sixth seal. In verse 12, it states that, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake." Now, the visions of the seals have to do with events developing an anomalous system. And we might question, well, why is there an earthquake mentioned? This great earthquake resulted from a flood of truth. Its cause is brought out in Revelation 12, verses 14 and 15. Revelation 12, 14. "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood." So, this flood of truth is shown as, and I'm going to quote from the third volume, page 65. It is shown as coming out of the mouth of the serpent or dragon, and where its real object from Satan's standpoint is explained to be to overwhelm the woman, the protesting church of God. As her 3.5 times, 1260 years of wilderness hiding were about closing. And she was coming forward into prominence, leaning on the arm of her beloved, the Word of God. In symbol, water generally represents truth, and the symbol preserves its meaning even though it be said to issue from the mouth of the dragon or serpent. The thought conveyed by this symbol was that truth would issue forth from evil agencies and with an evil intent. And just this we find, the strength of the French Revolution lay in the fact that it was instigated by many stern truths regarding priestcraft and kingcraft, and regarding the individual rights and liberties of all, the rights of man, was indeed the watchword of that revolt against civil and ecclesiastical oppression. And that is the end of that quote from page 65 of the third volume. So an open door could not be shut, leading up to a great earthquake. The sixth trumpet is found in Revelation, the 9th chapter, verses 13 through 21. Revelation 13, it says, 9:13, "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." The literal river Euphrates flowed through the literal Babylon, so the river Euphrates could picture Christendom at that time in Europe. Practically everyone was Christian under papacy. And four angels were set free, which were previously bound. It could represent four divisions of the protesting church or four divisions of Earth society. We believe this trumpet was the work of Martin Luther, and certainly Luther's message affected all the world. Luther wrote the first translation of the Bible into German. And from history, we could say the exact time that this message started was October 31st, 1517, when Luther nailed his 95 theses. These were all objections to the rule and authority of the papal system on the church door at Wittenberg. And that started a great division in the church. The theses ran throughout all Germany in 2 weeks, and people began to complain about the indulgences. They revolted after seeing the human inequality, and they freed themselves from fear of excommunication. Now, the seventh stage of the church is mentioned in Revelation 3, verses 14 through 22. We recall in the first stage of the church, Ephesus, the faithful hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. They hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, Revelation 2:6. Nicolaitans is a symbolic name for a clergy class. And in the Greek, it means conqueror of the people. Conqueror of the people. Now, in Laodicea, the seventh stage of the church, the meaning of Laodicea is justice for the people. Instead of conquerors of the people, we will see justice for the people. In the sixth stage, Philadelphia, you know, in Revelation 3:6, it said, "Behold, I come quickly." In Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." So, Laodicea covers from our Lord's second presence onward. It is the period of the harvest. The sixth chapter of Revelation closed with the developments of the sixth seal period. And then chapter 7 of Revelation describes four winds being held back to permit the completion of the work of the sealing, the 144,000, and also describes a great multitude being brought forth. And then in Revelation 8:1, it mentions the opening of the seventh seal. Well, that may seem confusing that the church is complete and great company dealt with before the opening of the seventh seal. However, in understanding the divine plan, it can be seen that the events of Revelation 7 properly happen under the seventh seal period. In the first six seals, the opening is stated first, after which the events are described. For the seventh seal, the order is reversed. The events are described, then another specific event noted which marks the opening of the seventh seal, namely Revelation 8:1, which states, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." Remember, the seals will illustrate what would develop in the nominal system. So in order to be consistent with that thought, at the time the seventh seal is opened, Jeremiah 51:7 states, "Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand." The faithful church had once, the unfaithful church had once been the receptacle of divine truths, but now she has been spewed out of his mouth. And the message is to come out of her, my people, in Revelation 18:4. It is the harvest period, the separation of wheat and tares. There is silence in heaven, silence prevailing in the nominal church. They were unaware of the thief-like return of our Lord. Isaiah 56:10 states, "His watchmen are blind. They are ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber." His watchmen in this scripture would refer to the clergy class of the nominal heavens. Being blind with no mental perception of events transpiring, they cannot bark. They are unable to awaken and announce to others the knowledge of present truth. You know, the reformers all came out with new truths, but there has been no new truth in the nominal system in the last stage of the church. This silence in the nominal heavens may also be described under Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, verses 14 and 15, where it states, "Why do we sit? Assemble ourselves. Why do we sit still? Assemble ourselves. Yourselves, and let us enter into the defense cities, and let us be silent there, for the Lord our God hath put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble." Now, in the nominal heavens, Neither reason nor scripture supports their false ideas, their doctrines. And that's why they have to change so much. And they have to eat their former words. And their wisest method is to keep silent under the shadow of old superstitions and under the protection of so-called Christian governments. In 2 Thessalonians 2:9, we informed that our Lord's parousia is accompanied by Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders. And the adversary will devise appealing counterfeits of truth to combat present truth. Matthew 24:43 informs us that if he had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. And for that reason, the silence in heaven was only about the space of half an hour. Now let us look at the other side of the coin during that same time period. The message to the true church, the trumpet message. Revelation 11:15, it states, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Whereas the nominal heavens were silent in proclaiming present truth, there is great voices in heaven, voices of the true church. The living members of the church are evidently the active agents in the Lord's service. They proclaim, as stated in Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, and publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And as a consequence of the reign begun, when the Lord will begin to correct, the wrongs, and then prevailing, remember this time period is justice for the people. Revelation 11:18 states, "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come. The anger of the nations will be directed at the spirit of selfishness prevailing in the social and financial, political and religious conditions and arrangements as they become aware of the inequalities of the past." Let us now return to the period of the fifth seal, a period just before the Reformation, and harmonize it with Revelation 14:13. Revelation 6:9, it says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, that they should rest for a little season unto their fellow servants also and their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled." Now from the start of the Gospel Age up to and including the period of the fifth seal, those who were persecuted and cut off for their faithfulness to the truth and the testimony which they held, those who were even martyred are shown as souls under the altar. Under the altar is an illustration showing the ashes of their sacrifice life. To them were given white robes, the righteousness and rights of the saints, which would be theirs when in the first resurrection they would walk with their Lord in white. Revelation 19:8 mentions, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." Now, until that would happen, Revelation 6:11 says that they should rest yet for a little season. They were to rest through the period of the fifth seal, and then for a season more. Season in the Greek is chronos, and we believe this would be a symbol of a prophetic year. 360 days based on a lunar year. A day for a year representing a 360-year period. We earlier said the sixth stage of the church would properly begin with Martin Luther nailing his theses on the door, church door at Wittenberg, October 31st, 1517. Well, a 360-year period is going to reach into the Laodicean period, when the souls of the altar would walk with their Lord in white. 1878, the resurrection of the sleeping saints. And this would harmonize well with Revelation 14:13, because it says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them." During the gospel age, the faithful who actually died, the souls under the altar, it would not be a blessing to die, but from henceforth, as stated in Revelation 14:13, from 1878 onward, it would be a blessing to die. 1878 marks a time for the beginning of the glorification. The change is to occur at the moment of dying to all the faithful, living members from that date onward. 1 Corinthians 15:51 states, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." The Apostle Paul said that we shall not all sleep. When the seventh trumpet shall sound, the faithful who then die will not need to sleep in death, awaiting the resurrection morning for the church class. Revelation 14:13 states that they rest from their labors and their works do follow them. The Diaglot translates this verse that their works follows with them. And instead of toil and weariness of serving as the Lord's agents, proclaiming and engaging in kingdom work in the mortal body, their death will not interrupt their works, which will continue under the more glorious and more favorable conditions. We believe with their head, our Lord, those members of the body beyond the veil have the complete supervision of the great changes now in progress. Process in the world as proclaimed by the seventh trumpet.